Let us pray again. O God, you alone are God. You alone are worthy of all of the worship, for there is no God besides you. We thank you that you have revealed yourself to us in your word. I pray that your word would be more desirable to us than gold. I pray that it would be sweeter to our lips than honey. I pray that it would be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. I pray, God, that our hearts would not harden when we hear your word, but that our hearts would be soft when we hear your word, for it is, all of it is breathed out by you. And when Scripture speaks, you speak. And so I pray this morning that you would give us a hunger for your word, and I pray that you would speak to us through the preaching of your word. For we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, again, good morning. It's good to see you all this morning. I'm glad that we get to gather together and worship. You can take your copy of God's word and turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. We'll begin in verse 14. But while you're turning there, our words for kids this morning, I just have a couple of them this morning. Scripture and revelation. Scripture and revelation. This morning we're going to begin a two-week mini-series on the importance of this book that we have right here, Scripture. And we're doing this to set the foundation for an all-church Bible reading challenge that I'm going to issue to you today and next week. And the theme for this mini-series is actually my prayer for us all as we begin this new year. And the theme and my prayer is this, that God would sanctify us in the truth. That God would sanctify us in the truth. Pray for God to sanctify us in His Word. And this is coming directly from Jesus and His prayer for His disciples in John 17:17, where He says, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Jesus is making a bold declaration in that passage that God's word is truth. And He's praying that through the word that they would be sanctified, or in that context, that means to be set apart for holy service to God. And my prayer is that that would be us as well, that we would come to know and love God's word as the truth, and that God would set us apart for holy service to Him as we read the word all together. So with that in mind, we're going to begin our short mini sermon series with looking at the idea that when Scripture speaks, God speaks. That's what we're looking at this morning. And then next week, Lord willing, we're going to dive deeper into that prayer from Jesus in John 17:17. Let's begin this morning with one of the boldest declarations about Scripture in all of the Bible, which comes to us from 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'm going to read verses 14 through 17. Please stand for the reading of the Word of God. And this is the Apostle Paul writing to Timothy, who is a pastor at a church. And so that's who he's talking to directly. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. This is God's holy word. When Scripture speaks, God speaks. You may be seated. I want you to imagine for a moment that I had sitting up here a huge treasure chest that is full of the world's most finest jewels, gold, silver, whatever valuable things that you may want that's in there. And this treasure chest is worth millions and millions of dollars, and I just have it sitting right here. How many of you would want that treasure chest? Yeah, well, John knows where I'm going. That's great. What if I told you that you can have something that is worth a million of those treasure chests? Beloved, knowing God is worth an infinite amount of treasure on this earth. Knowing God is worth more than a million of those treasure chests. In 100 years, millions and millions of dollars of gold or whatever it may be will be worth nothing to you. But knowing God will give you eternal life. We were made to know God. Knowing God is the highest goal that we can achieve in this life. And there is nothing in this world that will give us more joy or delight or contentment than knowing God. Now, if that is true, and I believe with my whole heart that it is, then we must ask a question. How do we know God? How do we know God? We only know God by the way that He has revealed Himself to us. For God to reveal Himself to us, it means for God to make Himself known to us. And when God makes Himself known, this is called revelation. So when I talk about revelation this morning, I'm not talking about a book in the Bible. I'm talking about the idea that God makes Himself known. God is revealing Himself. So that's what I mean by revelation when I use that word this morning. Revelation is the way that God makes Himself known. And God has to make Himself known to us. Because just think about it for a moment. God is infinite. We are very finite. God is a spirit. We are living in the flesh. How can we know who a spirit is unless He tells us who He is? How can we know someone or something that is infinite when we are just teeny, weeny, itty bitty? We cannot know who God is unless He makes Himself known. He has to reveal Himself to us. God is inviting us into relationship with Him, and we can't relate to Him without knowing Him. So again, we must ask the question, how has God made Himself known? How has God revealed Himself? That's the main question that we're going to look at this morning. God has revealed Himself, or God has made Himself known in two ways. God has made Himself known through general revelation, and God has made Himself known through special revelation. So these are the two things that we're going to look at this morning. So God has made Himself known in general revelation, and God has made Himself known in special revelation. And my goal and my hope is that even if you don't know what those things mean now, you will know by the time we are done. So first, God has made Himself known through general revelation. General revelation is God making Himself known through His creation. All the beauty in this world is a reflection of the beauty of God. Did anybody enjoy the frost on the trees this week? Yeah, it was beautiful. But why was it beautiful? Because it's just a tiny reflection of the beauty of God. Has anyone been to the Badlands? It's okay to say yes. You go to the Badlands and it's beautiful. But why? Because it's a reflection of the beauty of God. God is making Himself known through His creation. Psalm 19 really helps us out here, and we're going to spend a few minutes looking at the first couple verses. So if you want to turn to Psalm 19, you can. Otherwise, it will be on the screen. Psalm 19, verse 1, says that the heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims His handiwork. So the heavens declare the glory of God. The sky above proclaims the work of His hands. In this verse, the heavens and the sky are referring to the same thing. And it's saying that the sky is proclaiming or declaring the glory of God. Have you ever looked up at the sky and just been amazed at its beauty? The fluffy clouds floating on a blue skyline? How about the sunrise with a brilliant array of colors? How about the sunset over the fall crops? Isn't it just gorgeous? But why? Because it's God declaring who He is through His creation. How about the stars on a cold, clear night, millions of them just glowing in the dark sky? It is God. It's beautiful because it is God revealing Himself, making Himself known through His creation. The sky is declaring and proclaiming the glory of God, this verse says. And to declare something is to make something known. The sky is making God known. Again, God is making Himself known through His creation. This is called general revelation. But it continues in verse 2 of Psalm 19. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. Day after day, night after night, the sky is revealing knowledge about God. Notice the word revealing, which again means to make known. Every day and every night, the sky is making God known. So again, we see God making Himself known through His creation, which is called general revelation. Verse 3 continues, there is no speech, nor are there words whose voice is not heard. What the sky above is proclaiming is heard by everyone. There's not a single person in the history of the world that does not know something about God, because God has made Himself known in His creation, which is called general revelation. I'm trying to say it a million times. That's my philosophy here. But here's what we must ask. What has God made known through His creation? Well, Romans 1, 19 and 20 actually tells us directly. It says there, for what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For His invisible attributes, namely His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. Now, the Apostle Paul in Romans 1 is making a larger point that God has made Himself known through His creation, and so there is not a single person who has a good excuse in rejecting Him as God. And so just keep this in mind. If you reject Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, when you stand before the throne of God, and you will, if you reject Him, you have no good excuse, because God has made Himself known through His creation. But to answer the question I want to answer, Paul says that God has made known His invisible attributes, His invisible characteristics. Specifically, he says, His eternal power and His divine nature. So we know from creation that God is eternally powerful. God has the power to create the entire universe by speaking it into existence. He hung every one of the billions of stars in its exact location. He sustains the sun so that it comes up every single day. And He fearfully and wonderfully created each and every one of you. God is eternally powerful, and we know that just by looking at His creation. But we also know from creation that God has a divine nature. This means that we know from creation that there has to be a God. We know from creation that the creator of everything has to be divine. That's what Paul is saying. And so if you reject Him, you have no good excuse, because God has made Himself known through His creation. And God has made known that He is eternally powerful and that He is divine through His creation, through general revelation. With that in mind, there's a famous story about six blind men and the elephant. And I'm borrowing this illustration from Kevin DeYoung. Have you heard this story before? So there's six blind men, and they go up to an elephant, and they're trying to figure out what it is. So the first blind man, he goes up to the elephant, and he touches the side of the elephant. And he says, "How smooth. This must be a wall." The second blind man goes up to the elephant and he touches it, and he touches the trunk of the elephant. And he says, "How round, this must be a snake." The third blind man goes up to the elephant and he touches the tusk of the elephant. And he says, "How sharp, this must be a spear." The fourth blind man put out his hand and he touched the leg of the elephant. And he said, "How tall, this must be a tree." The fifth blind man reached out his hand and he touched the ear of the elephant. And he said, "How wide, this must be a fan." And the sixth blind man reached out his hand and he touches the tail of the elephant. And he says, "How thin, this must be a rope." Now the author's point of the story is that we are all like blind men when it comes to knowing God. We know a little bit about him, but we don't really know him. Everyone has their own perspective on God, and we are all equally right, that we are just grasping in the dark when it comes to knowing God. And here's the thing. If all we had was general revelation, if all we had was creation, this is what we would be like. Because God's creation is so big and vast and so glorious, and we are, again, so teeny, itty-bitty, that if we're just looking at creation, we would be like blind men trying to figure out what an elephant is by touching one part of it. And this is why there are so many different religions and so many different views about God. And just to be clear, I don't agree with the author's point of the story. But this whole story and this whole analogy, it breaks down if the elephant speaks. If the elephant says, "Hey, blind men, I'm an elephant." What if the elephant tells the blind men, "That wall-like structure, that's actually my side. That big thing that you touch, that's not a fan, that's actually my ear. And that's not a rope at all, that's my tail." If the elephant can speak and tell the blind men that he's an elephant, then the blind men would know that they're touching an elephant. If God speaks and tells us who he is, if we listen, we will know who he is. Beloved, God has spoken. God has told us who he is. He has told us how we can know him. He has spoken to us in this book right here. He has spoken to us in his word. When scripture speaks, God speaks. And when you listen to God speak, you will get to know him. We cannot truly and fully know who God is through general revelation. We need something more. And thankfully, in God's kindness and in his grace to us, he has given us something more. He has given us special revelation. So how do we know God? We know God through general revelation, and we know God through special revelation. So second point this morning, we know God through special revelation. How do we know God? We know about God through general revelation, which is God making himself known through his creation. But we know God through special revelation. And the difference between the two is huge. It's eternal. The difference is something like this. I know things about Tom Brady. I know that he won the Super Bowl 7 times. I know that he won the MVP 3 times and that he went to the Pro Bowl 15 times. I know things about him, but I don't know him. I don't have a personal relationship with him. I don't care about him. He doesn't care about me. This is the same when it comes to general revelation and special revelation. We can know things about God through general revelation, but we can only know God through what he has told us in special revelation. Special revelation is God making himself and salvation known. And this book right here, the Bible, is the mode of special revelation that we have today. This book is God's special revelation to us. And I've heard it said somewhere that if you want to hear God speak to you, read the Bible out loud. Special revelation is necessary for us to understand who God is in greater detail. We need special revelation so that we can understand the way of salvation, so that we can understand who Christ is, and so that we can understand the way of godly living. Without special revelation, we would not know how to be saved. Without the Bible, we wouldn't know who Christ is. Without Scripture, we wouldn't know how we are to live as Christians. Without God's Word, we wouldn't grow because we wouldn't know how to. So let's look at our passage again, 2 Timothy 3, 14 and 17. I'm going to read it all again. Actually, verse 12 is always interesting to me. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. That's something that we can ponder. We need to hold fast to the word, because if you want to live a godly life in Christ Jesus, you will be persecuted. It looks different for all of us, but you will be. While evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. And here's our passage. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. This is Paul again writing to Timothy, his child in the faith, and he's saying that those sacred writings that you know and believe, they are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. And here's just an interesting footnote. When Paul refers to the sacred writings, he's actually talking about the Old Testament. And he's saying that the Old Testament is able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. So that gives us a little hint of what the Old Testament is all about. That they're saying you can even look at the Old Testament and learn how to be saved through faith in Christ Jesus. And that'll help us as we hopefully read through the Old Testament this year. But even though it's referring to the Old Testament by implication, it can refer to all of Scripture. And Paul is saying that it is Scripture, that it is the Bible that makes us wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. So how do we know about salvation? How do we know about the greatest treasure in the history of the universe? We know about this treasure through the Bible. We know about salvation through Scripture. The Bible is where we learn how we are to be saved. And it even tells us right here that salvation comes through faith in Christ Jesus. Beloved, do you have faith in Christ Jesus? That is the only way that you can be saved. Then Paul continues in verse 16 and he says, all of Scripture is breathed out by God. All of Scripture is breathed out by God. Not just the Old Testament, not just the New Testament, not just the red letters, not just your favorite verse. Every single word on every single page of the 66 books of the Bible is breathed out by God. But what does it mean that the Bible is breathed out by God? Think about the difference between breathing in and breathing out. And let's just take a moment. Everyone take a... It's funny, some of you did it already. Once you talk about breathing, everyone remembers, oh, I got to breathe. But let's just practice. Everyone take a deep breath in and a deep breath out. Okay, good job. We're doing our breathing exercises today. I want you to do that one more time, but this time when you do it, as you're breathing in, I want you to try to talk. So when you breathe in, try to talk at the same time. Go ahead. It's very quiet. John says it doesn't work. Now, I'm definitely not a doctor, so this is not medical advice, but I think it's impossible to talk while you're breathing in. Now, this time I want you to breathe in, and then while you are breathing out, I want you to try to talk. Yeah, it was a lot louder when you're breathing out. Every time we talk, you are breathing out. So when you breathe out, or excuse me, when you're talking, you are breathing out. And here's the point that Paul is trying to make. Every time Scripture speaks, God is breathing out. When Scripture speaks, God speaks. Again, when Scripture speaks, God speaks. All of Scripture is God's own word. The Bible alone is the word of God. And to quote one statement, the Bible is to be believed as God's instruction in all that it affirms. It is to be obeyed as God's command in all that it requires. And it is to be embraced as God's pledge in all that it promises. Scripture itself says that it is more to be desired than gold. The word of God is worth more than the most valuable resource on earth. Why? Because when Scripture speaks, God speaks. And when you listen to God speak, you get to know Him. In other words, we know God through Scripture. We know how to have a relationship with God through His Word. And again, like I said at the beginning, we were made to know God. Knowing God is the highest goal that we can achieve in this life. Knowing God is worth more than 1,000,000 treasure chests. Knowing God, Jesus Himself says, is the eternal life that He came to give. Knowing God is the best thing in this life. And there's nothing that can bring you more joy or delight or contentment or whatever it is than knowing God. So what does it mean to know God? To know God is to live as His beloved son or daughter. To know God is to be saved from God's wrath and your sin and guilt and death. To know God is to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to love God and love others. And to know God and having a relationship with God means reading and listening to God through His Word. It means appreciating God for who He says He is in Scripture. It means accepting His invitations and doing what He commands in the Bible. It means celebrating the love that God has for you in Christ Jesus that is based in the Word and not based on what you may be feeling that particular day. And here's the thing, when we know God by diving into His Word, we realize that the greatest part about knowing God is that He knows us. He knows every aspect of your life and your heart. He knows your greatest joys and He knows your greatest sufferings. He knows your deepest sin, and yet through His grace and through Christ Jesus, He has offered a way of forgiveness for all of your sin. And God loves you so much that He doesn't want to leave you in your sin. He loves you so much that He wants to sanctify you by the power of His Holy Spirit and the truth of His Word. He wants to transform you from one degree of glory to another. He wants to make you to be more like Christ Jesus. He wants to set you apart for holy service to Him. That's what it means to know God. And so again, my prayer for this series, my prayer for us this coming year is, O Father, sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. We know about God through general revelation, but we know God through special revelation. We know God through His Word. And if this is true, and I believe that it is, then the application for us is simple. Read the Word, know the Word, love the Word, and live the Word. We have the greatest treasure so easily accessible to us, and yet we don't access it like we should. And by way of footnote, if you do not have a Bible, I love giving away Bibles, and I have some in my office that I would love to give away. So if you don't have a Bible and want one, just let me know. I will get you one. But my friends, we have God's Word at our fingertips, and yet we don't treasure it. There are so many reasons why reading and meditating on God's Word is not a priority in our lives. Maybe we're busy. Maybe we don't want to. Maybe we don't believe it's important. Maybe we're just doing it to check it off the box and then it becomes this chore. Or maybe you just forget. Based on how you spend your time, what other things are more valuable to you than mining the treasures of God's Word? Based on how you live, what is more valuable to you than knowing God through His Word? There's nothing more valuable, there's nothing more important than knowing God through His Word. Not your work, not your hobby, not your favorite TV show, not even your family. I'm not saying some of those things aren't important. I'm just saying the Word of God is more important than all of those things. And this is why I want to challenge all of us in this Bible reading plan so that we, together as a body of believers, can dive into the Word of God, so that we, together, can grow in knowing God, and so that we, together, will be sanctified in God's Word. And so what I want to do here before I close is just briefly explain this Bible reading plan. Hopefully it's pretty self-explanatory, but what I want to challenge you in is reading the Bible this year. And the goal is to know God, so just keep that in mind. So with that, there's three different levels that you can participate in this plan. You can either read through just the New Testament in the whole year, you can read through just the Old Testament, or you can do the whole Bible. As stated in the bulletin, I have the sheets there on the table as you come in. I have some in regular font and some in big font. The regular font has both the Old Testament and the New Testament on it. The bigger font just has one is Old Testament, one is New Testament. So if you want to read through the whole Bible with the big font, you'll need both of the sheets. Just a couple random things. Note that it's 5 days a week, and I think that helps gives us a catch-up day, or if you know you have a couple extra days you want to do some Bible memory or something like that. So it's 5 days a week. I encourage you to be creative in finding time. On average, it's probably going to be 10 to 15 minutes of reading a day for 5 days a week. And I think if it is a priority, that's very doable. But be creative. You can do the audio Bible. There's a number of free versions that you can get to read scripture to you out loud on your phone. Or if you have like little kids and you're like, this is really hard, just read it out loud to your kids while they're playing Legos or whatever it is. Also, I heard the story of one mom who had, I don't even remember who this was. Betsy can maybe tell you, but I think she had 7 kids or something, and it was really hard to get into the Word, and so what mom would do would just, when she was under the blanket, that's her Bible reading time, and the kids knew not to disturb her. So this is just an example of a creative way to get into the Word. Next note is that this plan will start on January 6th, so that's a week from this coming Monday. So January 6th is when we'll start all together, and that will give us a fresh, full week to start on. So January 6th. Also note that the Old Testament it's called the historical plan, and it's in order of the Hebrew Old Testament. So in my office at home, I have a Hebrew Bible, and my Hebrew Old Testament, it's a different order than our English Bible, and so that's the Old Testament that we're reading. And it is so, it like opens up how the Old Testament is put together. Lord willing, sometime I'd love to talk more about that. I also have a few resources. The Bible Recap is a really helpful resource. It gives you 8 minutes a day, and I think that's per chapter maybe, but that's a really helpful one. If you want to go deeper, there's a podcast called Bible Talk. That's a little bit longer. And also study Bibles are really helpful. I also want us to be reading the same things so that we can talk about it with others and so that we're all reading the same thing. And even if you're only doing the New Testament and someone else is doing both the Old and New Testament, you're still reading the same New Testament passages, and so you can talk to one another. And that actually reminds me, if you're doing both the Old Testament and the New Testament, you need to do like both sides of the sheet each day, if that makes sense. Okay, and just a reminder, last thing, goal. The goal is not just to do this to check it off the list, the goal is not to earn God's favor. The goal for us is to get into His Word, because when Scripture speaks, God speaks. So the goal is to know God. The goal is to know God. And you can do that whether you're just reading through the New Testament or if you're doing both. And kids, I want to encourage you to take up and read as well, even if it's just the New Testament. I want to challenge you to do that. Okay. I feel like I've been rambling long enough. As we enter into the new year this Wednesday, it's a new year already, and as you're maybe looking back on last year and maybe you're reflecting and preparing for this new year, I want to challenge you, I want to encourage you that as you look to the new year, make knowing God one of your top priorities, and one important aspect of that is reading His Word. So I want to challenge you with that as we enter the new year together. Because when Scripture speaks, God speaks. And when you listen to God speak, you will get to know Him. And there's no greater treasure on this universe than knowing God. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank You that You have revealed Yourself to us in Your Word. We thank You that we have it so accessible. I pray that You would forgive us for not valuing and treasuring Your Word. And I pray, God, that as we enter the new year, I pray that we would take up this challenge to get into Your Word together as a family. And I pray that as we do, that we would grow in knowing and loving and treasuring You and Your Word. And I do pray that You would sanctify us in the truth, knowing that Your Word is truth. Would You change us from one degree of glory to another as we gaze upon You in Your Word? And would You set us apart for holy service to You? We love You and pray this in Christ's name. Amen.